produced by Ken Fuller, Joseph Cottrell and Jeffrey Cresselius. This is Yes Music Podcast episode 602. Illustrator and Yes collaborator, Jeff Cummins.
Hi, this is Trevor Rabin and you're listening to the Yes Podcast.
Welcome to episode 602 of the Yes Music Podcast, two fans' exploration of the world's greatest progressive rock band. I'm your host, Kevin Mulrein, and co-host, Mark Anthony Kay, will be along in a moment. You can always get involved with the podcast via the various different ways on the site, yesmusicpodcast.com. We had yet another lovely conversation with a relatively unsung hero of the Yes story this week. As you'll hear, you have probably seen Jeff Cummins' work, even if you don't realise it. He's had a long and distinguished career as an artist and illustrator, and revealed fascinating insights that neither Mark nor I had heard before. I'm sure you'll enjoy listening as much as we enjoyed talking to him. Do check out the images in this week's show notes to see why we were so pleased to be able to talk to Jeff. A huge thank you to everyone who donated to the YMP 600th episode appeal. We achieved our target in just a few days, but don't let that put you off. You can still donate by clicking the link on yesmusicpodcast.com. As we've now passed our goal, Mark and I are planning our first ever YMP Live episode. I do hope you'll be able to join us for what promises to be an epic undertaking, playing and talking about Yes Music and lots more. Details to follow as soon as possible. This week on the YMP Facebook discussion group, there are lots of reactions to and photographs of Yes concerts on the current US tour from Brian Breen, Paul Hales, Doug Curran, Jeffrey Mason and Bob Martellotta. Those posts are all well worth seeing. Doug's write-up included the following observations. If you're still not wanting spoilers, fast forward now. Yes Concert 201 for me Tuesday night in Nashville, Indiana, at the beautiful four-year-old Brown County Music Centre where we saw Yes last November. A fantastic almost two-hour show by the band, all of whom had a great night playing and singing. I didn't hear any bum notes during the entire concert. Steve, Billy and Jay were on fire, Jeff was silky smooth and John was perfect in his singing and playing. And I happily noticed that Billy's vocals are finally more prominent in the mix, more so than on any tour since he replaced Chris on the 2015 tour. Spoiler alert. I love to hear South Side of the Sky, Going for the One, Don't Kill the Whale and Machine Messiah anytime I can. Not a fan of them only playing parts of America, as it's always been a strong favourite of mine in its entirety. Lovely to hear It Will Be a Good Day and a beautiful turn of the century. Disappointed that they're only doing one new song, Cut from the Stars, after dropping All Connected. The highlight for me was the 20-minute medley of music from all four sides of the Tales from Topographic Oceans album, some not played since the mid-70s, and expertly arranged from sides 1 to 4. I told the band in advance that we were in the front row, in front of John, so there was lots of eye contact from Billy, John, Steve and Jeff. Jay was partially blocked for us by John's percussion. Doug also added the following items this week. A video of Bill Bruford with King Crimson performing Lament on TV. Prog issue 144, on sale on Friday, that's today, in the UK, with an interview with Trevor Rabin. And an interview with the influential musician Thomas Dolby, in which he declares his love for Yes music. Good man. Jeffrey Mason posted the following list of items as well this week. An interview with Yes manager Brian Lane from 1972. An unusual colour photo of the band from way back, an article praising Rick Wakeman and attacking pop music's robotic tendencies, an interview with Rick about moving to Yes from Straubs in 1971, a Chris Welch interview with Keith Emerson, a review of the new Yes singles collection, a recent review of Tomorrow's self-titled album, news of a new album by Steve Howe called Motif Volume 2 due in November, and a review of the Going for the One tour in 1977. John Pickles has been rediscovering the ladder, and YMP patrons Stephen Lamb and Dave Watkinson met up to talk Yes recently. Jeff Downes did a quick rig run-through on the Yes official channel, and Jeff Bailey has been having lots of fun with his Prog Report friends ranking Yes albums. That's one to watch, although you will disagree, I would imagine, with almost all of it. Hector Salvador Plaza contributed another brilliant Chris Squire photo, and John Pickles posted his copy of the fascinating Steve Howe Guitar Collection book. So many thanks indeed to everyone who was in touch in any way this week, including those who commented on last week's show notes, John Holden and Doug Curran.
Yes Music Podcast, 12 True Summers.
It's wonderful to welcome Jeff Cummins here today. He's best known for illustrating covers of many Doctor Who novels. But although they maybe don't realise it, he's also well known to us Yes fans through his amazing illustrations. And we'll aim to find out more about that today. So, welcome Jeff.
Hi.
Good to have you here. And Mark is here as well.
Hi Jeff, how are you doing today?
I'm good.
So my first question for you is, you created album covers and other artworks for musicians such as Paul McCartney, Rick Wakeman, John Anderson, Alan White, Eric Clapton, the Moody Blues, Roger Taylor, and many others. Is that really what you always wanted to do as an artist?
Totally, yeah. When I went to art school, I mean, I was totally into music and stuff. And a friend of mine, around about the time I started, just showed me an album cover. I think it was a Tyrannosaurus Rex, an old Tyrannosaurus Rex thing. And I went, wow, look at that. It's illustrated, you know? And I just thought, if I could get away with that, actually getting involved with doing sleeves, it would just be like hog's heaven, you know? So I think towards... throughout kind of art school, I was doing graphics and stuff and then moved on to illustration, which was my thing anyway. I kind of just gravitated towards like redesigning albums and stuff. And my final year at college was just like plastered. The wall was plastered with wannabe album covers, you know, and stuff like that. Mm. I'd gotten into Yes as well around that time. Kind of late on, I went to art school at... I started at 1970. Beatles had kind of split up, and I was a big Beatle fan, you know. So I was kind of looking at new stuff, listening to Radio Luxembourg late at night, and I got into Neil Young and Cat Stevens, Emerson, Lake and Palmer, via them, Rick Wakeman, and then Yes, you know. And my first Yes album was Yes Songs. So that's where I first heard like a whole bunch of their stuff. And of course, it introduced me to Roger Dean as well, who I adored, you know, from those covers. And so I kind of backtracked then into the recorded albums.
You know, it's interesting. I was looking through your website on some of the stuff that you did, obviously the Yes stuff, but immediately I've had a smile on my face and you elevated yourself quite high on my list of respected artists when I noticed that you did the Whitesnake Live in the Heart of the City cover.
Oh, right. Cool. Thank you.
That's one of my favorite albums and covers. So I was like, oh, Jeff did that. Immediately now you're placed high in my rankings now.
Thanks. I'm glad. You know, I kind of hit the ground running really fast because I got involved with McCartney, you know, and I did Wings Over America, and that kind of live middle kind of gatefold sleeve in a gatefold thing kind of sparked quite a few things off, including Whitesnake. You know, they saw that and wanted something similar, and I kind of tried to oblige. You know, they gave me a bunch of photos. One or two of them were out of focus. You know, I had to work with that. And, you know, even did a Yes album that wasn't released, but much later on.
Yeah.
I also noticed another classic, in my opinion, and a lot of my friends as well, as the Rainbow Straight Between the Eyes cover, which is another fantastic cover.
Yeah, another controversial one. I ended up very early on working with Hypnosis. The first thing I did for McCartney was the thing called Thrillington, and they were involved in putting that, even though I'd kind of done the concept and everything. And I ended up working on kind of concepts for them. They weren't artists. They were like creative thinkers and photographers, you know, and I worked with them.
So, yes, Hypnosis. And someone else that we've spoken to on the podcast previously is Colin Elgee, who did the illustration for the inner bag of Tormato.
Did he?
Yes.
Right. Okay.
So is he someone that you knew or know?
Yeah, I met Colin through hypnosis, and he was there before me, I think. And I wandered in, you know, from the McCartney office with the Thrillinson thing, and Poe asked me to do some scribbles for them, and I obliged, you know, and I was doing a lot of that stuff, but I was really keen to do illustration because that was the whole point in my book, you know, and I was pushing them for illustration all the time. And the only other person I could see that was doing illustration for them was Colin, who was fantastic, you know, did some lovely, lovely work. So, yeah, we kind of shared the studio sometimes, you know, in different corners, scribbling away.
So I noticed your involvement with the band began around the time of the solo albums in the mid-70s. What was your first contact with the band or its members?
Well, I was on a mission when I got down south. I worked in a little marketing company for a year or so, but that was just to get me in the area, really. My whole kind of background was just painting my heroes, you know, whoever they were at the time, you know, right from Bruce Lee to, you know, Rick Wayne, bizarre kind of crossover there. So I was painting this stuff. And I think even before I contacted Brian Lane, I was staying at my boss, basically. I was staying at his house while I found my feet, really. And he could see I was into Rick Wakeman and stuff. And I painted this kind of fan art thing. I went to see Yes in Liverpool after seeing Rick Wakeman on the telly. And I went, wow, this is great. And in the program for that show, there was an ad for Journey to the Center of the Earth. So we went down to that, me and my wife, my girlfriend then, and a couple of mates. And we went on an overnight coach down to London and went to this fantastic show, you know. In the program for that show, he was talking about, he was taking the mick out of his crew and stuff. And he also mentioned his local in Buckinghamshire called the Valiant Trooper. Mm-hmm. And my creative director, who I was staying with, said, oh, that's just up the road from where we are. We were in Northwick Park. There was a tube line up to Amersham, fairly near to that area. And I'd done this painting of Rick playing darts at the Valiant Trooper. Which is, I don't know, you know, I was very naive and kind of silly, really. But I'd done this painting. I wanted him to see it, you know. I wanted to give it to him. So I phoned the Valiant Trooper, and I said to them, is Rick Wakeman in tonight? they kind of went, no, but a member of his crew is in. Do you want to talk to him? And I went, yeah, of course. Yeah. And that was Fred, who worked for Rick. Funky Frat Fred, as he used to call him, Fred Randall. And he was really lovely. And I just said, look, I've got this painting. I want to give it to Rick. Can I bring it up there? And he went, yeah, come along. You know, we'll be here on Sunday. Come up and have a beer. And it was just like, it was as easy as that, really. And I found my way up there that Sunday, and I walked in. I had my long hair and my big old greatcoat on, and there were these long-haired guys. It was very quiet in the bar.
Yeah.
About three of them by the bar, and I thought, that's them. So I won't say anything. I'll just go straight to the bar and order a Guinness, because I was terrified at this point. And I had this flat package under my arm. Yeah. And Fred finally came over and said, are you the artist guy? And I went, yep. And he brought me some like cassettes and things, you know, like you would do maybe with a fan, and all stuff I already had, you know.
Yeah.
And he said, can we see the painting? And I kind of unwrapped it. And then everything changed. It was like they were kind of like, wow, you know. And basically one thing led to another. And around this time, I didn't realize. I'd been to see Rick Wakeman play at the Crystal Palace Bowl, as it was then. Yeah. And he did a gig there. But I think he got quite ill after that and had a heart trouble. And he was recovering from that at that point. And anyway, Fred invited me to their club that night in Amersham, and I met all the band and everything. And he'd taken the artwork to Rick.
Yeah.
Rick had taken a photo of it, a little kind of like a Polaroid, and that was hanging behind the bar when I got there, you know. And I was like, the celebrity of the night. It was unbelievable, the reception I got from the band and everybody, you know, and all their friends and stuff. And that's when I found out he was ill. And I said, you know, what did Rick think of the painting? And Fred said he nearly had another heart attack. What? So I kind of got in with them, kind of. I mean, a few, well, when I don't know when it was, a month or so later, I ended up down at the studios in Willesden, I think it was, and they were working on the Arthur album,
Right.
and I met Rick there, you know. But there was also another, I can't actually remember whether it was before or after that, but I'd contacted Brian Lane and I'd gone in there. I never expected to get work from Yes. It was just like I would approach people I was really into, you know, because that was where the enthusiasm was. And, you know, because of Roger Dean, Roger Dean's going to do everything, you know.
Yes.
But I got there and Brian sort of tried me out on a few things. He just said, look, why don't you do like a couple of pencil portraits of the band and maybe a painting of the band and stuff. And it was like a trial, I suppose. And of course I went away and scribbled like crazy, you know. And out of that came the commission for John, who was working on Elias.
Right. Well, let me ask you about that because I've got my copy here, and you created a beautiful, essentially family portrait, wasn't it, for the inside cover of the Elias of Sunhillow, John's masterpiece. So you got the commission, but I was fascinated to know what the inspiration was, the way the family are dressed and how they're posed and so on. Was it from a photograph or how did it come about?
Yeah, basically, Brian said, go meet John. He wants you to do a portrait of the family to go on the album. So I took my little camera down with me. I wasn't a great photographer, but I went round to John's house, which was quite exciting for me. And I got the late morning or something, and we talked about it. And basically, they all sort of stood in the corner, and I took some photos, you know. John put his coat on, and if you've seen the later version of Elias on recent kind of release on CD, they show the original portrait I did with the cat and the dog and the kids. And when I took that round to John's when I'd finished it, he really liked it, but he said we look a bit tired, you know. We look like he's working into the early hours on the album and stuff. And he says, oh, what I'll do, I'll get a photographer to take some shots. We'll kind of go in a bit later and, you know, put a bit of slap on whatever you said. I'm paraphrasing. He got this kind of well-known photographer who I can't remember off the top of my head now to do shots for me to do the second version, you know.
Right.
And John's thing was like maybe have it a bit flowing down the bottom end where the family are all kind of like morphing into his kind of coat kind of thing. And that was the version that was used on the cover. I had no idea how it was going to be used. And first time I saw it was when I went to a record shop and bought the album, basically. And there was color on it. I went, what's happened? Because I just did pencil drawing, you know. And I got to know the guy who did the color as well, Richard Manning, I think. He worked with Hipgnosis. He was one of the many freelancers they used. And it was just like a surprise that, you know, if I'd known they wanted color, I would have done it in color myself, you know. Did it probably. But that's how that came about, basically. Not long after that, I got a call from Brian again. And he said, oh, by the way, we're going to use the sketch you did of Alan on the cover of his thing. And I went, oh, I'm ramshackled, right?
Ramshackle, yeah.
And it was like, great. This is good news, you know. So I
Absolutely.
was quite excited. I was just like a kid, you know, running around. And what you need me to do, you know?
So you seem to have captured his character brilliantly. Do you try and put more than just the physical features into your work?
Oh, that's a question. I think at the time it was just kind of like fairly innate. I was quite good at getting people's likenesses, and I was probably a bit too much of a slave to the camera as well, in a literal sense. Just because I wanted to get the likeness and just portray the person, that I could see. Maybe when I came straight out of college, I was more creative with how things kind of rolled. They were kind of like how I saw these people. So I'd probably put more kind of artistry into it and less technique. But when they were becoming like professional commissions, I was more concerned about the technique and tightening up my ability to make things more realistic and true, to reality sort of thing. I was kind of progressing, but also getting lost a little bit, with that side of things. And I think working with hypnosis kind of brought that back, seeing how they worked, and this lovely surreality and thinking outside the box stuff,
We've already mentioned a bit earlier this remarkable composition, this illustration you did for Yes shows, which wasn't actually used in the end. They used the Roger Dean, amazing set of Roger Dean artwork for that. So, how did that get commissioned, and why wasn't it ever used?
Again, it was Brian. He called me and said, "Look, we were putting out this live album." And he gave me a bunch of photos, and it was pretty much. I think he was aware of the Wings of America thing that I'd now done, and we were kind of going with that look again. There was no lasers or dry ice or whatever. It was just like trying to emulate the gig, in one kind of. One shot, really, with the references they gave me, which was literally like one or two shots of each of the band, and then just trying to lay it out over the gatefold sleeve, because it was going to be a, I'm not sure, it might have been the front and back cover, I think on my pencil sketch, which you can see on my website. I emulated Roger Dean's typeface because I assumed he'd probably be doing that. So it was kind of odd one. I didn't expect to do a literal cover for them. I always thought they were going to be little side things, and whatever they could throw at me, I'd be more than happy for. I'd probably run round the corner and get coffee for them or whatever they wanted, So this was quite nice. And then I painted it. I took it into Brian, and he said, "The bad news is the band are falling out or something." There was some kind of thing going on, so they just decided not to put it out at that point. So we kind of, I think Brian wanted the artwork, and I said, "Well, look, you buy the artwork from me, and if you decide to put it out or they decide to put it out later, you can pay me for the cover." But Brian was great. He really kind of helped me, in the early days, because I didn't know where I was going, really. I was just full of enthusiasm and running towards the light. One time he'd come back from America after a tour, and he gave me this book of Norman Rockwell's work. Wasn't exactly dynamic or rock and roll, but I just adored this guy's work, and I just got I got completely engrossed in it. It's probably Brian's fault. I kind of like try to do everything in a Rockwell way, which kind of maybe hindered me a little bit, but it also helped me kind of develop my style, if you like, the kind of realistic thing that I ended up with,
So our mutual friend Dave Watkinson tells us that you even did a painting of the band with Patrick Mraz. Is that right? And was it on the wall at the Yes offices in London?
It was. I mean, Dave has had to kind of remind me of that. There's a little black and white shot, I think, where I started putting that together. And I based it on the Yes album. Was it the Yes album with the floaty head going on? So I sort of replicated that. I'd completely forgotten all about it, and I think Dave got really lucky and phoned Brian up and said, have you got any stuff I can have? And grabbed a load of artwork. So I've only seen a really bad shot of it that Dave showed me that was in the background of an old shot that he did in his house, I think, after he got hold of this artwork. So yes, basically is the answer to that. I never got any decent shots of it. We don't know where it is now. I'd be interested to see if it would turn up at some point.
Right. Well, that must have been amazing to think that they were, you know, the band and the management were looking at your artwork every day when they went into work. So that's fantastic.
Yeah. But I'm always thrilled to do these things. I mean, I had a lot of drive. I heard John was going to do a second solo album. I kind of said, can I come and see you and maybe like talk about what I could do for the cover for you? quite cheeky, really. And bless him, he I went round to his house and we had a little chat. He didn't really have anything in mind at this point. He hadn't even written anything. He was kind of talking about, he imagined somebody by a stream or something and like lapping up the water. I can vaguely remember this stuff. And I went home. It wasn't really a brief. It was kind of like he just had this idea for a song or something. When I got home, I'd started scribbling these little thumbnails and I was moving the paper around. And I noticed that the person kneeling by the stream that I'd scribbled upside down looked a bit like a donkey or a horse or something. And I went, oh, what's going on here? And I came up with this whole concept of this album cover that you could just flip. It ended up like it was going to be John as the guy. But if you flipped the whole album over, I was trying to think, well, how can I use a donkey's head? This is weird. This is bizarre. Shakespeare, Midsummer Night's Dream, popped into my head. Yeah. I came up with this whole concept, you know. I even had that classic picture of Shakespeare and flipped that on his head and came up with the swan. So I had this whole Midsummer Night's Dream concept album all ready for John to work on. I can't believe it now when I think about it. And I just went back with like a whole concept, you know, an album thing. And I think he must have went, what the hell? And I know Jenny, his wife at the time, you know, she really liked it.
Yeah.
She thought it was really good. And John just said, well, you know, the thing is, I think it might restrict my writing, you know. But yes. I can't believe my audacity now.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, this might work. What about this? What about this? And I just turned up with these sketches, you know.
Well, moving on from that then, the possibility of collaborating with John on a concept, your name appears alongside Colin Elgee's, actually, in a book that I've recently written called Yes, the Tormato Story. And the reason you're in there is because you drew a kind of comic strip, didn't you, for the Tormato Tour program. Again, was that a Brian Lane thing? And who came up with the story for that?
Now, that was Rick.
Right.
Rick very specifically wanted a page. I think I don't know how it worked with the band, but you know, maybe like they all get a page and they go like, "This is going to be my photo, and I'm going to have a little bit about this." And I think there were maybe some of John's paintings in there.
Yes, on his that's right. Yes.
But Rick wanted to do something, a mixtape thing as usual, and he was having a go at Brian, you know, about slave driving them to the constant tours across America and stuff like that. And just came up with the concept. It was basically Rick's idea.
Yeah.
I didn't do comic strips. I loved comics when I was younger, but I was no comic artist, really. I did aspire to it for a while. But it wasn't really my thing. But Rick said, you know, do you want to do this? And I went, yep.
Absolutely.
When do I start? You know, he had it all worked out, every frame, you know.
Yeah.
And I just drew it up best I could for him. And that was it.
Interesting. So you included the squash tomato on your Yes page on your website for the Tormato tour book. Did you draw that as well?
Yeah, that was when Poe at Hypnosis was putting the program together. He had nothing to do with the commission that Rick commissioned me. He just had to kind of include that. But he wasn't sure what to put on the back of the cover. And the, you know, the front cover had kind of emulated the album cover, didn't it? With them shades standing around, posing around on some tour somewhere. Mm. Poe just came up, you know, you draw a squashed tomato that's been smashed against something, because they had a bit of trouble with that, I think, with the photography of that. And I went, yeah, let's do that, you know. And it, again, it was a nice thing for me to do and to paint out of black almost, you know. I think I squashed a few tomatoes and took a few photos and stuff and basically painted it.
Yes. Away from Yes, just for a moment before we come to a close, what was your favourite album cover to work on to date?
I mean, I think Wings of America was the turning point for me. And it was quite a thrill to do. I didn't have a lot of time to work on it. I think the one before it, though, the Thrillington cover I did for McCartney, it's like the orchestrated version of his solo album, Ram. Considering it was pretty much my first, it was almost neck and neck, I think, with Elias and Thrillington around about the same time. But I got to do all the kind of concept work on that as well, you know. Mm. So that was quite thrilling for me, literally.
Literally, yes.
Yeah.
So one thing I have to ask you, because and hopefully you'll be pleased to hear that I am a gigantic Doctor Who fan. Okay. So when I discovered on your page that you were the gentleman who did a lot of these classic books that I, you know, grew up and was hunting down, searching for, like, you know, the Three Doctors book or the Talons of Wang Chiang, or for example, the Tomb of the Cybermen, or one of my personal favorites, which I think is one of the most one of the most scariest Doctor Who episodes I think I've ever seen in my life, was The Horror of Fang Rock.
Oh, wow.
Right. And I remember looking at these books, and the covers always took me, like, to how fantastic they were. So what I'm trying to get at here is the illustration style that you've done has become quite the trademark for the Doctor Who books. I imagine that you've always been a big fan of this series as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was there day one, you know. I remember the first episode really well. And it's quite nice that you can still watch it as well, you know. So, yeah, I did the thing, you know, behind the sofa. I remember my dad saying, "What are you doing there?" And I started off sitting next to him on the sofa. So, yeah, it scared the holy hell out of me, you know. But I loved it. You know, I loved the first Doctor. I had a slight problem when he regenerated, because I was just a kid. I mean, I was just like quite a little kid. And I'm kind of going, who the hell is this guy? This is not him. Where's he gone? What's going on? And I think I pulled away, you know. I probably went out to play and climbed a few trees instead, you know. And then along the way, I spotted Tom Baker. And I went, ooh, he's interesting, isn't he? So I miss Pertwee as well, pretty much. And I missed a couple of Doctors out. But I was kind of back in again with Tom Baker. And it was quite nice that when I was asked to do the covers for Target books, they mostly featured Tom. So, because he was a current Doctor at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, no, I'm curious of one thing, though. You said you skipped over the second Doctor, which is actually my favorite Doctor, Patrick Troughton. I thought that he was the best Doctor of them all, even above Tom Baker, to be quite honest. I'm just going to say, I'm curious, what is your favorite Doctor?
Well, it will, you know, I think it's become Tom Baker. It was always William Hartnell, because he was the first. And I think it's off, you know, I hear it over and over with Doctor Who fans who I meet on a regular basis, and will do again this weekend as well, that, you know, it's generally where they came into it. I know Patrick Troughton's son, and to my shame, I've never seen anything with his dad in it. I'm on a promise to sit down and go through all the old reruns and whatever I can get my hands on, you know. Because whenever I've seen little kind of bits and pieces, I'm going, yeah, man, he looks really cool, and he looks like a beetle.
Right. Well, Jeff, that's been absolutely fascinating. And once again, we've managed to talk to someone who is well known by Yes fans, but actually, as I said at the top of the show, maybe they don't realize it. So thank you very much indeed for coming and telling your brilliant Yes stories.
Been a pleasure, mate.
Yes Music Podcast, 600 episodes.
Just before we go, here are the YMP producers and half the patrons. Yes Music Podcast producers are Joseph Cottrell, Ken Fuller and Jeffrey Cresselius. And half of the patrons are Mark Baggs, John Cowan, John Parry, Dave Owen, Simon Barrow, Steve Scott, Terence Sadler, Steve Dill, Robert Naser, Fergus Cubbage, William Hayes, Jeff Bailey, Stephen Raw, Lobate Scarp, Jeffrey Mason, David Watkinson, Tim Stannard, Robert Vanderveer, Brian Sullivan, David Pannell, Jamie McQuinn, Miguel Falcao, Paul Tomei, Michael O'Connor, Brian Harris, H.B. Peterson, and Guy de Rome. Of course, as always, thank you very much indeed to those patrons. If you'd like to join them, seeing a bit behind the scenes of the Yes Music Podcast, then do head over to patreon.com, patreon.com/yesmusicpodcast, or click the link on yesmusicpodcast.com. So that's just about all the time we have this week. Thanks so much for listening once again. We do hope to be back next week. And in the meantime, please do keep listening and getting involved via X, Facebook or Instagram. So until next time, just remember, whatever your progressive rock question, the answer is yes.